The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Ministries.
Don't fall for the idea, well, Mary had to be more special than anybody else. We all are looked upon by God with affection and not one higher than the other, even though God did come to one person because there could only be one. And in this place, we realize that we are all recipients of God doing miracles in our lives. And somebody might say, oh yeah, right, Herb, so someone else is going to have a son of God. Well, that's already been done. That's over. When you look at scriptures, line us up and say, your life is a miracle also, and that you are favored of God as well. So why not posture yourself in a way and yield yourself to the Lord and say, Father, what would you like to do with me? How is it that you would like to use my life and that I could be a reflection of the Christ child in the way I do business day in and day out as well? If you ask that question and then expect an answer, then get ready, because how he's going to interpret that for your life has everything to do with the way he's wired you and for such a time as this.
Coming up on Sought Out Radio, we tackle the issue of Christmas in a new and unusual way. This is not just another Christmas story. Instead, we discuss the miracles that happened then and ask, why not us? Why not now? Could some of the same miracles of heaven happen to ordinary folks like you and me? Find out, because that's next right here on Sought Out Radio. And we welcome you to Sought Out Radio. I'm your host, Mark Grote, and I'm joined once again by my wife, Teresa Grote, who sits here on my right, and Sought Out Ministry leader, Herb Marks. Thanks for joining us today. It's good to have you here with us.
Great to be here.
It's really good to have Teresa here, Mark.
And we want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. And to be true to form that we are Holy Spirit Radio, if you're listening today, you were supposed to.
That's good.
And I just honestly believe that we have a special Christmas edition of this show today. I've Sought Out Radio for you. And before you tune out and go, oh, okay, you know, another Christmas, you know, show, or we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus or whatever, I think that you'll be pleasantly surprised that this will not be your typical radio program about the birth of Christ solely. I think there are themes from Christmas that we need to carry forward into a conversation with you that I think are very profound and important, that God did in the sending of his son in this day that we celebrate around Christmas. And so I ask that you would tune in with us for the next 22 minutes or so as we talk about this subject of Christmas, but the impact of what it should have and what it should mean for us in our lives. Because if it doesn't change us, then it doesn't mean anything. But it's supposed to change us. And Jesus did come. God did reveal himself through his son, Jesus Christ. And he was the most profoundly changing figure in the history of the world. Yeah. And here's what we were just talking about, and I'm going to pass it to Herb, is that this is God incarnate in the flesh, who made himself nothing to become the most weak creature that exists. I mean, every animal that is born from its mother outside of a human being can walk when it's born. And even a human being has less capability, less ability in the natural once it's born. A human being is the weakest among, but they grow to become the strongest. And here Jesus became literally the weakest that he could possibly be. So Herb, it's with that, let me just throw it over to you. And as we tackle the subject of really Christmas and what it really means to us as a believer, what it should mean to the average person's life, why is Christmas a trigger, or such an important date for us to celebrate? What's important about it for the average person listening?
One of the areas that is important, I feel, for all of us to consider, is going to be one of the most difficult things to wrap our minds around. I mean, if we were to take a step back and look at the majesty there is of the King of Kings and the Creator of all things, I mean, he's always been and always will be. And just to stop there for a moment is to take the brightest of minds and realize it's still something we can't fathom. He's always been and always will be. And then when you think of, he's the one who threw all of the universes, the galaxies, into place. And and the stars at night. And my son would sometimes ask me to just go out into the yard at night and lay down in the grass and look up at the sky. And all of a sudden you see the stars that are hung. And they're hung by the one that we're celebrating today. I mean, look at the size. And so just with those couple considerations, here we are again. I think the thing that impacts me the most, I'm leading up to, is the humility that this God of all creation, the size, the majesty, the perfection, always has been, always will be, that he would pour himself into the size, he would condense himself down into the size of a baby. Mark and Teresa, that to start with, I mean, so we tilt at this point, and he would come to us totally weak. And Teresa, you had a verse a moment ago, even that you were mentioning. When we look at this, I'm thinking of the humility of God. That's what draws me to a God of this size, of this magnificence, and yet when he saw our need, that he would humble himself in this way and come in this expression to humankind, still giving them the choice, giving us the choice if we would want him or not. What? You got to be kidding. What on earth, you know? And this is the God that comes, that we're celebrating on this day.
Yeah, I think about that scripture often in Philippians that talks about Jesus, that even though he had equality with God, he didn't consider it something to be grasped. Instead, he humbled himself and became a man. And I, like Herb said, that it kind of blows the circuits in your brain because we grasp many things, not even close. We're just so different than Jesus, just so different than how he took on.
And you know, one of the things about that scripture is, and for people who are listening, it's not just that it's not something to be understood, but something to be held on to or attained to. This is a very important distinction. It's Jesus is saying that the equality with God was not something to be attained to, that he had taken on the nature of a man and became a servant. And here, our striving every day, you know, that example that Jesus gave wasn't just so that we could, you know, we had position, or so we have authority, we have a great job, or we have lots of money, or that we have lots of influence. It was that we, you know, the theme of the Bible that keeps coming through is that the last will be first. The first will be last. And so really what it is it's about for us not to to follow Jesus' example of becoming less, but he became a servant leader to all the people that he was that he was sent to help.
It begins here in the fact that if we're waiting to comprehend this, we're going to wait a long time. And what Jesus carries forward on this, and that is that once we begin to buy into him without intellectual consent, where we will accept him at face value of faith, that it's in that place, then our minds begin to be opened up by the Holy Spirit and only by him. I don't know if it'll ever be opened up to the capacity of grasping this, that the God of the universe would put himself in such a condensed place as in a baby and begin this incredible journey to the cross. And that really he was kind of just hidden for 30 years, even though as an adolescent, he did come out a little bit in Isaiah when he read the scrolls. and when he did some teaching. But he still served his parents. He honored his parents, and he learned a trade. And in a lot of ways, obscurity, until he burst on the scene and for 3 years turned the world upside down. But it's in this place that when he raised from the dead, no one's done that. Raised from the dead. And now the people that are being raised from the dead today are all being raised through his name, because Jesus is choosing to touch those of the miraculous nature. But he was even the very first to be raised from the dead. Yeah, no religious leader has been raised from the dead. It's Christ Jesus who did that. And then for those he chooses to raise from the dead, and there's, and not to get sidelined, but, you know, some of the servants of the Lord, even in this century, you know, William Branham or, you know, Smith Wigglesworth. I mean, Wigglesworth, a powerful man of God representing the Lord Jesus Christ, a man of faith, raised numerous people from the dead. I mean, and these are medically proven, even pulling one man out of a casket. But put that aside. I mean, you know, that's a sideline. The fact is that Jesus, you know, came as a child. And that's what we're celebrating, is the entrance of love into humankind in full humility, as Teresa said. And when we look at Luke chapter 1, here we are, and it says that the angel, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. I mean, hello, you know, yeah. Here we go again. And that is that the angel is coming to Mary and begins to foretell what God's design and plan is in using her, that the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit would overshadow Mary, and she would find herself with a child. She would find herself conceived without ever knowing a man. And that's another miracle. Another miracle is that there was Elizabeth, a family member, who 6 months prior to Mary found herself pregnant with the one who would herald or go ahead of Christ Jesus, foretelling of the one to come.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because we're really talking about all the impact of that,
the miracles.
Holy Spirit went and set up these things that happened, that transpired in the events that we're remembering today.
But, correct. But and the miracles and the timings of God.
And this is the life of a Christian today, 2,000 years later.
Mm. Well,
this
not is, to mention that God talked about it for a long time before he did it.
Oh my gosh, Teresa, I'm so glad you brought that too, because for a long time, all throughout the Old Testament, there are some 300 foretellings or prophecies of the one who would come.
Yeah, but you know, that was written after Jesus came along, right, Herb?
No, those are 300 prophecies leading up to.
And how do we know that, right? Because we've discovered manuscripts like from Psalms that was, you know, the Dead Sea Scrolls, right? We discovered them in that they existed. They can be dated. They can be carbon dated, yeah, right? That they they pre-existed that era.
Well, not only is that proven, but if anybody hangs around where I'm sharing somewhere, I really get a kick in even the mathematical equations of the chance of somebody fulfilling 300 plus prophecies. It's a human impossibility. It can't be done, because one who fulfilled all of them, and Jesus did, the chance of that is one out of 181 zeros.
And that's, yeah.
I like that, the mathematical angle, but I also like the angle that God is a great communicator and that he is just very willing to let us know what's going on if we want to look at all.
If we want to know, if we want to listen, absolutely.
Yes.
Isn't that great?
It is, because I've often talked with other people who tried to suggest that Jesus misspoke this or he misspoke that, and I said, no, that is not That didn't happen. You know, he is the ultimate communicator, as you said. God never spoke anything that he didn't mean to speak.
Well,
nothing without intention.
Mark and Teresa, he also came on his own terms. He came miraculously. He could have taken a lot of time to explain, you know, what's going to happen, and it's going to be really easily understood, and we're going to do it on a real politically correct, you know, platform so that everybody would understand.
Getting into the deep end of the pool now, huh?
But instead, how does he do it? He sends a messenger, an angel, for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
But then the messenger or the angel explains it, has a dialogue with Mary, and Mary's response is beautiful. But she really tried to figure it out at first. She was even troubled. And the scriptures are really exciting around this part of it, and the fact that if you break down the fact that she was troubled, she was upset only for a moment, and almost in a place where her mind was set out in front. That's part of the description of the word trouble, is that also her mind was brought out into the forefront, meaning that she intellectually tried to grasp this and could not. And that's where the angel settled her down and said, Mary, don't be afraid or concerned. You're really agitated at the moment. Well, who wouldn't? For crying out loud, all of a sudden you're standing in front of an angel, and he's telling you that your body's going to be invaded by the God of the universe, and you're going to go full term and bring forth the Son of God. I mean, folks, let's get a grip on this.
And what was she, 16?
She was between 14 and 15.
15.
Yeah.
So you have to imagine that in a kid 14 or 15 today, and put it in kind of perspective of what she must have been like. I mean, she's just a young girl.
And so don't be afraid, the angel said, because Mary wasn't accustomed, and for the most part, we're not either, accustomed to this kind of conversation, let alone the fact that God is touching earth through a person. He said, you're highly favored. Only one other time in the New Testament where that's mentioned, and that is in the scriptures that speak of that we are accepted in the Beloved. And also you realize, no, don't fall for the idea, well, Mary had to be more special than anybody else. Because when you bring those two verses together using the same verb in the original text, it's saying that we all are favored, we all are looked upon by God with affection, and not one higher than the other. Even though God did come to one person, because there could only be one. And in this place, we realize that we are all recipients of God doing miracles in our lives, you know. And somebody might say, oh, yeah, right, Herb, so someone else is going to have a Son of God. Well, that's already been done. That's over. But the fact is that when you look at the scriptures, line us up and say, your life is a miracle also, and that you are favored of God as well. So why not posture yourself in a way and yield yourself to the Lord and say, Father, what would you like to do with me?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
How is it that you would like to use my life, and that I could be a reflection of the Christ child in the way I do business day in and day out as well? If you ask that question and then expect an answer, then get ready, because how he's going to interpret that for your life has everything to do with the way he's wired you, and for such a time as this, because the timing of God is perfect. You're here for this hour. I mean, when you look at the fact that Elizabeth was with child 6 months prior, the one who would tell of Jesus' coming, this is all a plan, and that he would be born 6 months prior to Christ, and that he'd go out ahead of Jesus as John the Baptist, also foretelling. And so nothing happens that's a surprise. It's all foretold. God will do that with us as well. I mean, he's not going to change the way he does business, but it all comes down to, do you want him, and are you available as Mary was?
Yeah, if I can just pick up on something, because I think this is a really key theme that you're coming into, which is, you look at Jesus, who was brought to send and bring salvation to a world that need it. The Son, right? The Son of God, who's going to bring salvation to the world. We get to read his life encapsulated in the Gospels, but we look at all of the people who were affected around him. Like you said, Mary and Elizabeth and Joseph and Herod, and just the list goes on, right? It's all the people that were affected by the sending of Jesus around this seminal moment in time and in history, right? This is our life, really. This is a reflection of what is happening to you today. As you hear my voice, what is happening in your life today? Who are the people around you who are being affected by you, by the things that God wants to do through your life as well? There's God brought life into a dark world at that time with Jesus, and he wants to bring life into someone else's dark world, and he's going to use other people like he used Elizabeth and Mary and others. He's going to use people that are around your life, and they're going to, and these things are going to come together, and they come to the intention that God has for people's lives who are hearing this today.
Mark, you're talking about other folks being influenced by, and you used Mary and you used Elizabeth. Let's swing it around from another angle also. When the Lord does come to us at times and say, I want to do this with you, and we're thinking, boy, that's bigger than I thought, or I don't know if I have the faith for that. And Scripture does say, have the faith of God. And we might read into that of thinking, I've got to build up my faith so I can have, you know, high faith. No. It's saying, have the faith of God, because God comes to you with his faith to give to you so that you can have the faith of God or from God. When Mary is told this incredible verbiage from the angel saying, you're going to have a baby and it's going to be the Son of God, you know, we see the reaction, which is normal, and she kind of goes sideways for a moment in verse 29. She's greatly troubled. But then guess what he does? The angel begins to surround her with encouragement and reminds her of somebody else that a miracle has already begun with 6 months prior. And God will do that with us. He brings miracles for us to see, so that we know that it can happen to us too, to encourage us.
Encouragement.
That's just who he is. Our God is a loving Father that's introducing us to a higher level, which is a, what we call a miraculous level, because none of this would happen without him.
Yep.
It has to be something that God does. And that's why it's so special.
We're at, believe it or not, we're about 2 minutes away from being done. I can't believe it went that fast. So do you want to like just put a bow on this?
Yeah, sorry. I do.
All right. So why don't you just take it from there? And
I want to encourage the listener with this thought. Your life matters. And just as encouragement was brought to Mary from the angel and by others around her, the angel finishes by saying, Mary, for nothing is impossible with God. But I want to point out that in this word, it is better written when it says, for no word is impossible, because God empowers his word. The word thing right there is misplaced in the English when it really ought to be word. So it says in verse 37, for no word is impossible with God. And I want to say with you, as the Lord brings to you his word, his instruction, when the word of the Lord comes to you, then he also engages the Holy Spirit to cause that to come to pass, because he watches over his word to perform it in our lives. So may I encourage you, be people that trust what God's intention and what is longing of his heart, because he's looking at you and he knows that he can birth in you miracles that go beyond what is the natural and what is normal. See, the kingdom is longing to touch earth, because Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, and he has a plan for your life, not only on Christmas Day, but for all of 2016 and the years beyond. So from Sought Out and all of our crew, we love you, and we all wish you a Merry Christmas and an excellent New Year.
Thanks, Herb. Friends, don't you just love what Herb was sharing about believing in miracles and believing that you too could be chosen by God? In fact, I know many of us want to disregard this and don't believe that you could ever be used by God in this way. And perhaps not in the same way, but what makes what God might do through you any less impactful or profound to someone else who is touched by God in a new and unusual way? So won't you give God permission to use you today? To use you and make your life a living testimony to someone else's salvation? I hope you will. Very quickly, friends, the end of the year is near, and it's never too late to support Sought Out Radio and take advantage of the tax benefits before the end of 2015. If the Lord leads you, your support to help keep Sought Out Radio on the air is greatly appreciated. To send your gifts, questions, or comments, you can write us at P.O. Box 1733, Mukilteo, Washington, 98275. If you'd like to email us, our email address is radio@soughtoutglobal.com. Our website is also a great way to keep in touch with the ministry, and it's a great resource with loads of great content. And remember, when you miss any of our shows, you can go to our website and catch up on previous programs just by playing any podcast there. So go to isoughtout.com today and listen to any Sought Out Radio program there of your choosing. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For Herb Marks and Teresa Grote, I'm Mark Grote. Please be sure to join us again next week right here on Sought Out Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Global Radio, you can do that at soughtoutglobal.com.